like to talk about don't miss your opportunity. Don't let it go by. There are opportunities in life that God brings to us. Specifically for someone. And if you're not paying attention, it'll just go right by. And it may or may not ever come back again. So let's have a look at Luke chapter 19. And we'll start in verse 41. So Jesus is drawing near to Jerusalem. Verse 42, and he says to the city, the people there, if you had known, even you, especially in this your special time, in other words, the things that make for your peace. But now, they're hidden from your eyes. Now, does anyone have the Amplified for that? Do you have it? Okay. Would you read that for us good and loud, please?
It's verse 42.
Yep.
Saying, if thou hadst known in this day, saying, if only you had known on this day of salvation, even you, the things which make for peace, and on which peace depends. But now they are hidden from your eyes.
Yeah, go on for the next two verses too, please.
For a time of siege is coming, when your enemies will put up a barricade with pointed stakes against you, and surround you with armies, and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground, you Jerusalem, and your children within you. They will not leave in you one stone upon another, all because you did not come progressively to recognize from observation and personal experience the time of your visitation when God was gracious towards you and offered you salvation.
Amen. See, God's word, when he speaks, his word is spirit, and it gives life. But if we're not paying attention to it, careful attention, it can go right by. And we can miss, as they did here, something wonderful, something supernatural, something we desperately need, because we weren't. It didn't come in the package we thought it should. It didn't come the way we thought it would. We were feeling tired or lazy or irritable, and we just missed it. And that happens, I think, pretty regularly. In Luke 19:42 here, the Greek says, the things which belong unto thy peace, which God has made available, which God has made available. And the word peace means an absence or an end of strife. It means God's mercy brings deliverance and freedom from the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin. Mercy from the consequences of sin. And what it goes on to say here, that it is hidden from your eyes. The word hidden there is veiled or concealed. And eyes is the ability to perceive and understand, to see what was not seen before. The eye is the power of perceiving and understanding. And we know from the prayer in Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, it talks about praying for revelation, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Now, if we didn't need that to happen, God wouldn't have put it in there. When he says, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. We can't hear in our flesh that which is spirit. And that's why we have to get on the same level that God is speaking to us. And how do we do that? Well, we do it by focusing directly on God. And by giving time and allowing the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our understanding. To open them. And there are, of course, many examples of that. I have a few here. Acts 16:14. I have that down here. And let's see who that is. Acts chapter 16. And it's verse 14. Oh, it's Lydia. Okay. So here we are. A certain woman named Lydia heard us. That's Paul speaking. And she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed or understand the things spoken by Paul. Now, why would she need God to open her heart? Because without that, it's just words. Just words. And the enemy comes as quickly as he can to seal those words so that we don't think about them. We don't allow them to bring any kind of life to us. They just get right by us. And it could be something that Lydia desperately needed to hear. And then back in Luke 19, Jesus goes on to say in verse 47 that he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him. See, he was bringing them messages of life and understanding, and their hearts were closed. All they could think about is how can we get rid of this person? How can we get rid of him? They missed their greatest opportunity. They closed their eyes to things like Luke chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Where Jesus is in the temple and he speaks. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he goes on to say, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The problem is, none of them heard it. They didn't hear it. They heard words, but the words annoyed them because the words were not what they were expecting. Jesus was not what they were expecting. He didn't come the way they thought he should. And so they closed their ears off to the words that he was speaking. He was bringing them the greatest revelation that he's brought life to them. And how many of them could have been changed and had their whole worlds changed if they had received his words? But they wanted God to come on their terms, not his. And so they missed, just as in Mark 6. In Mark chapter 6, the first six verses, it's his hometown. And the Bible says that the only thing Jesus could do is lay his hands on a few sickly people who had headaches and maybe the flu and heal them. But he could not do any mighty miracles there. Why not? Their unbelief. Their hearts were closed. Their hearts were closed. And yet they heard of all the wonderful miracles that Jesus was doing here and there and there. But in their minds, it was like, we know this person. He's no big deal. We know his brothers and sisters. He's having some kind of a... What's he having? What's the word? You know. He's having a... the visions of grandeur. That's what it was called. You know? He is... He's nothing. And so they closed. They closed. And they missed. And there had to be people there who were sick. There had to be people who were sick. There was people sick everywhere. But they didn't get anything. Because they missed their opportunity. Their hearts were not open to hear what the Spirit of God was saying. So they missed it. They just plain missed it. How often does that happen today, I wonder? God, the Holy Spirit, in fact, it's his role, isn't it? John 16, I believe it is, in verse 13. Let me read that to you. John 16, 13. There's other verses as well, but I think this one is the most direct. Yes. In fact, verse 12, Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't get it today. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He'll glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things are mine and the Father. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. What's the role of the Holy Spirit? I just read it. One of the roles, I should say, is to guide us, is to bring revelation. If he's guiding us into truth, then he is responsible to bring revelation. How do we know that? Well, because it says there, and of course it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 14, it talks about how the Holy Spirit's role is to interpret and explain the things of God, Spirit to Spirit. That's how God communicates. That's how the Holy Spirit is able to take what are just words on a page and bring them alive. Bring those words alive, causing them to become supernatural words working on your spirit, my spirit. But in order for that to happen, I have to give place to the Holy Spirit. And I have to listen and obey what I'm hearing. Because we can't just selectively go through, well, I like this, but I don't like that. Yeah, I can do this. And no, I don't want to do that. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, the answer must always be, yes, Lord. Because if we don't do what he says, he's not going to keep telling us things. Would you? Would you keep telling someone something important about their lives if they never listened? Well, the Holy Spirit's as smart as us, I think, you know, maybe a bit more. And so it is imperative that we give place and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And because we receive revelation today, there's no guarantee that we'll have it next week. Revelation comes to us as we open our hearts to God. And Peter's a great example of that. In Matthew 16:16, he says to Jesus, you're the Christ. And Jesus says to him, responds, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. God told you. God the Father revealed this to you. And the Holy Spirit's role today is to reveal things to you and to me. That we are to hear the things that we need to hear. We need some things we need to hear. And it is waiting on God, allowing Him to speak to us. Allowing Him to speak to us. Because He has things that we desperately need to know. The people who heard Jesus speak in John chapter 6, around verse 60, He was explaining to them that you have to eat my flesh, drink my blood. He didn't mean that literally, but they were spiritual words. So rather than ponder and say, okay, what is he trying to say? What's he trying to reveal to us? They got mad and said, this is a hard saying, who can bear it? And they closed off to Jesus. They just closed off. In fact, the Bible says that from that time on, many turned away from him. They turned away. Because they couldn't understand. They could not understand. What was Jesus trying to say? When we read our Bibles, or perhaps something is even said to us by the Holy Spirit, we don't always understand it. We don't always understand it. But rather than just throwing it away, if we'll wait on God, if we'll pray over that word, if we'll study that word, if we will give it place in our thought life, God will reveal it to us. God will reveal it. But it takes time for those kind of things to happen. And the consequences of not doing it can be very dire. These people, the Israelites of the day, they missed it. They just missed it. And there were no do-overs. It was gone. It was gone for them. Because they wouldn't hear. They would not hear. And he was there daily, daily speaking in the temple. But just simply because he wasn't coming in the package they were prepared to see or receive. He didn't say it exactly the way they wanted him to. They rejected him. They rejected him. So the eyes of their understanding never got opened. And then Jesus warns us in Hebrews 3:15, the New Living Bible says, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. Don't harden your hearts. And too often we hear something and think, that's too hard. Or I'm not going to do that. Or not today. We reject it. Even if we don't say, I reject it, we turn from that word. We don't receive it. Well, God calls that rebellion. What he wants us to do, rather, is James chapter 1, verse 21, which says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to sozo your souls. Receive with meekness the implanted word. That's what God is looking for you and I to do. That's how he blesses us, is that that revelation opens up a whole new dimension for us. And we start to see things we didn't see before. We start to understand things we didn't understand before. Because God is able to speak to us. He's able to speak to us. For example, in Acts chapter 3, around verse 6, going to the temple, there's a crippled person there. And he's looking for alms. You know, we always make the joke, he's looking for alms and he got legs. Anyway, he's sitting there and they say to him, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give to you. What did he have? He had a revelation of Jesus the healer. That's what he had. He had a revelation. Actually, it's a twofold revelation. He had a revelation of Jesus the healer. But then he had also the part two of this revelation is that it applies to him.
Yes.
It applies to him. Because he didn't go around doing that for everybody. So he had to hear from heaven. He's ready. Pray over him. And of course, the man was healed. Even more remarkable, shall we say, is Acts chapter 8, where the angel speaks to Philip. The angel of the Lord speaks to Philip, and he says to him, I want you to go to such and such a street. Can you imagine hearing something that clearly? That's pretty remarkable. Go to such and such a street. Now, he didn't tell him what to do then. He just said, just do it. Sometimes we hear from God to do something, and we don't know why. So we fuss over it. Why do you want me to do that? It's like somehow we're in a position to bargain with God. But he says, Philip, go there. Philip does. And when he obeys that part, then he speaks to him again. Sometimes you wonder, why isn't God speaking to me? Because we didn't do the last thing or the last 10 things he told us. And he says, I want you to go to this chariot. Walk beside it. That's all he told him. He didn't tell him, I want you to hop in and explain everything to him. He just said, go to this chariot. God leads us step by step. Step by step. Faith grows partly through obedience. If we will hear and obey the things God is speaking, and sometimes it takes a bit of time. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius has been praying for some time, and I don't think he's not born again, but he's praying to God, the one that he heard about, and he's being very generous with his money. And one day, an angel shows up and says, God's heard your prayer. At the same time, or very shortly thereafter, God gives Peter a vision. Gives him a vision. And the two come together. The two come together. You don't know what God is doing on your behalf. While you're obeying here, God is moving all around.
Amen.
All around.
Thank you.
It's amazing. You know, I said this last week or the week before. This is the person who created everything. 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 This is the person who was able to relate to billions of people individually, all at the same time. This is a person who, not a bird falls to the ground without his blessing and permission. It's amazing. I mean, I don't think our finite minds can grasp the depth of God. So when he tells us to do something, we need to just simply understand he knows more than we do. God knows more than you and I. And if we will obey this, it will open doors that otherwise won't be opened. They won't be. God doesn't tell us everything all at once. He doesn't. He tells us step by step. And as we obey step by step, new avenues are opened. Now, he's given us his word, which has a lot of information and a lot of, I don't want to say rules, let's say guidelines to live by. And that if we will embrace the teachings that are in the Bible, life will go much better. much better. But we tend to selectively pick out what we like, and not realizing that by doing that, we're missing out on a lot of things. God doesn't show up and say, well, listen, if you don't blah, 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 I can't do all these wonderful things I want to do for you. The opportunity just goes. It just goes. God's window of opportunity comes to us from time to time. And if we're ready, and I'm just thinking of when they brought Jesus into the temple there, there was a prophetess and a prophet, or priest rather, and they were ready.
Yes.
Was it Anna? Yeah, and they were ready. They were waiting and looking for, so they didn't miss their window. But everybody else did. They weren't ready and waiting. They were not ready and waiting. And even Jesus' disciples, they missed so much. So much. And when they didn't understand, rather than going to Jesus and asking, help us to understand this, this is over our heads, they turned to other things. They mostly fight over who could be the best. I believe that God has a whole slew of revelations that He wants to give us. Those revelations start to turn into faith. But it doesn't happen by accident. You've got to be looking for it. You've got to be, and that's what God has given us. Prayers like, well, let's turn to it. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's turn there. And just see that He is showing us how we can increase our spiritual effectiveness, how we can really hear the voice of God. And He says here, verse, 17. He says that, this is my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So if we only needed knowledge, He wouldn't have put this in. If we just needed to have the knowledge and that was sufficient, He wouldn't have said that we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. And then verse 18 says that the eyes of your understanding, that's your heart really, you know, would be enlightened, that you may know what's the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, and so forth. God expands our capacity and our ability to understand and to grasp. But the words that He speaks, they're spiritual words. And they have life in it. But for that life to be released in you and me, I've got to be on the same level of understanding. I have to give the Holy Spirit. Well, in fact, just let me just read it. Just, it really is pretty important. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it's verse... Well, let's pick it up in verse 11. Well, 10. God has revealed them to us through the Spirit. What's them? The things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And then in verse 12, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So that tells me I need the Holy Spirit to be able to understand and interpret that. And in fact, He confirms it in the next verse. These things we also speak. And then it goes on to say that the Holy Spirit, and I what I've done here is I just collapse it down into the Greek here. Interpreting, revealing, and communicating spiritual truths to spiritual people, spirit to spirit. Well, could it be any clearer? that God will take knowledge, his knowledge, and he will cause that knowledge to become reality in us if we'll embrace it and if we are paying attention. But we can easily be distracted, easily, because that's the role that the enemy takes on. He wants to distract you and I from hearing the voice of God. That's why it talks about the parable of the sower. You know, when someone doesn't understand, the enemy comes and steals it. When the ground is hard, the enemy comes and steals it. And when there's all kinds of other concerns going on about us, the enemy steals it. The only one that he doesn't steal is what? Luke 8:15. This is the only one that he's not able to steal. I believe it's 8:15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. In other words, they plant that word, and even though they may not understand all of it initially, they don't just put it away. They keep at it until revelation starts to flow. And in that revelation, it brings fruit. It brings fruit. And we need that. You and I, especially these days that we're living in, we absolutely need the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We need to not miss the opportunities that God is bringing us. Because some of them may never come around again. John 16:13, I'll read it again. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to guide you and me into all truth and to tell us things to come, that the Holy Spirit will declare the revelations from the Father and Son to you and I. Well, if that's not happening to you, we're missing it, aren't we? When was the last time the Holy Spirit did this? Guided you into all truth, told you things to come, declared revelations. If that's not happening for us, we've missed it. Now, the good news is we can correct it. We can correct it. Simple matter of saying to God, I'm sorry I've ignored you. I'm sorry I haven't paid attention to you. And start changing things. Start changing. And again, it comes back to very simply, I need to focus on God. I need to soak in God. I need to do what he told Joshua to do. You know, Joshua is about to go into battle. And God gives him the instructions that he will need. He will need to have, I mean, this is not a time when they're chit-chatting. He is telling him what he really needs to hear going into this battle. He tells him in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Well, I hear that and I think, okay, there's going to be problems somewhere. I'm going to be things that I'm going to have to face. And then verse 7, he reiterates, be strong and very courageous. Now I'm getting a bit nervous. That you may observe to do according to all that is in the law, which my servant Moses commanded you. Don't turn for the left or right. That you may prosper wherever you go. This book, verse 8, that's the key. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. That's a promise from God. But the condition, what's the condition? Soak in the word. Soak in the word. And even in that, as they crossed and they went over, God had a battle plan for every battle. He had a battle plan. See, sometimes we think, well, this worked last time, so all I need to do is pound it again the same way. But it may not be that. It may not be that. He didn't tell them to march around every city. But he told them to march around Jericho. God has a plan for every circumstance of our lives. And it's hearing that plan that'll bring success for us. Now, sometimes you don't have to do anything. Just speak the word. Just speak the word. Other times you've got to do things. But you're the one who's responsible to hear from God for yourself. And God will help you. The Lord is a gracious, gracious person. He'll help you. He wants you to succeed. God wants you to be successful according to His standards. He wants that. And He'll help us. The Lord will help us. Yes, sir.
In Joshua, in the case of the Gibeonites, it says they were deceived. Quiet.
Say it again, good and loud.
In Joshua, in the case of the Gibeonites, it says...
Yep.
But Israel were deceived because they didn't inquire of the Lord.
They didn't ask God. And God made them honor it too. Because they didn't ask Him. They didn't ask God. How many times have we done things without asking God? You know, or we got His plan from the beginning, but then assumed everything else would fall into place. And it didn't. Thank God that God is forgiving. God is gracious. He is full of mercy and goodwill. And He'll help us. God will help you. You can start fresh today, and God will help you. He'll redeem what's been lost. You know, in Scripture in Romans 8, I believe, somewhere in there, it says, God makes all things work together for the good for those who love Him and are called according to. So that even though we may have made a real mess of some things, God will come in and turn it for good. That doesn't mean we escape every consequence, but it means God will do whatever can possibly be done to turn it to good for us. This is critically important to understand this today, that without this connection with the Holy Spirit, we're on our own. You know what I'm saying? We're on our own. And we don't know everything. We don't. So the strategies that are against you, you may not know a thing about it. But God does. God does. And I'm sure that most of us could have avoided a lot of pain if we'd heard God and listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Any questions? Thoughts? Does it make sense? Lord, help us. God, help us to make time for You. Help us, Lord, to realize that You know absolutely everything there is to know, and we don't. Father, help us. Help us, O Lord, individually, corporately. In today's world, we need the guidance that comes from the Holy Spirit. We need that, Lord. We need it. We absolutely need it. And I'm just reminded, and I'll close with this, that a number of years back, Centerpoint. And I was driving around, and the Holy Spirit told me to stop and pray for Dave and Faith. And I thought, okay, I'll pray for him. I think it was on a Saturday. I thought, I'll pray for him Saturday night. And then the voice came back a little bit later and said, stop and pray for Dave. And again I said, I will. Tonight I'll pray when we're at prayer. And then it was one more time, and I had this sense of, this is the last time I'm telling you. Stop and pray for Dave. And so I did. I pulled over and prayed, and I thought, okay, what am I supposed to pray? Because he didn't tell me what to pray initially, and it says protection. So I prayed for protection for Dave, and until I felt released. And that night I found out that he was in a head-on on Highway 17, and the car was demolished, but they didn't have a scratch on them. We need to listen to God. Amen. We need, you know, I'm sorry for the times that I didn't. Believe me, I am. But I'm grateful for the times that I did and trying to increase that. God bless you.